Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another great night together with you and all the angels with us. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that tonight's going to be guided by your Holy Spirit, be led by your Holy Spirit, and we'll speak what the Holy Spirit tells us to speak. Lord, we just ask and we pray that new revelations will come forth tonight because of what you want to talk about. We thank you for it, Father. We glorify you. We praise you, Lord, for taking care of our enemies and also taking care of us. And Father, we just praise you that the time is coming when the world will see the glory of the Lord through the man-child. And I praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us to bring that about, bring about the bride as well, and bringing out the your elect from the apostate religions, Father. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night because you're going to be in charge. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven tonight. That when we pray, we can trust you to back up everything that your word said. And Lord, we thank you for these new revelations that we're getting from these angels. That if we just praise you, the angels get to go to work, get to victory. And Father, we just praise you for that. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Hang on, one other thing. Let me bind some angels here. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against any kind of tormenting spirits that might want to make war on this fellowship. In the name of Jesus, I bind you up and cast you out of here. Any kind of tormenting spirits at all, you are not allowed to come into this room and cause any kind of interruption. In Jesus' name, I command it, you to cease your activity now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, and we're going to have a wonderful time with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got a prayer request?
Yes, brother, I got a prayer request. I got a call from a brother in Christ I've known for about 30 years, Steve. His daughter just turned 14, and out of nowhere, he's just crushed. Out of nowhere, he said, my daughter is coming out and saying that she's bisexual. And I went, what? And so then we lift his daughter up and bind any perverted spirit. We just want to shrattle and shrapnel the kingdom of darkness because it threw him and his wife for a loop.
Okay, well, let's pray against that. They're being taught that in the schools.
Right.
And what they need to do is take that child out of school and homeschool her.
You can't. She's in eighth grade. She's getting ready to graduate that, but we'll see, brother. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends. Is he a Christian?
Yeah, Steve is a mighty man, brother. That's where I met Steve. As a matter of fact, we ministered each other all the time. But he was trying to get his daughter saved, and she came out with that.
Yeah, they've been taught that in school all the way from elementary all the way up in some school where they allow it. I don't know where he lived, but that doesn't make any difference.
Indiana.
Yeah, okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this young girl. Lord, she don't know what she is. She knows. All we know is who she is and what she is. In the name of Jesus right now, we break power of this perversion upon this little girl right now in the name of Jesus. You have no power there. She is bought by the blood of Jesus because her dad is in authority there. And Lord, we thank you that this young girl will be delivered from this demonic entity that's trying to ruin her life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. It's done.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Lord, brother, let me add a little bit in there. Father, we thank you for Steve and his wife, and they're both believers, beloved sisters and brothers. And we just give you thanks. We ask you, Father, that you would give them and grant them eyes to see beyond what they're hearing and what they're seeing. Father, that these hormones, when we start turning 14 or 15, we can be saying anything. We don't know what's going on. All we know is that these schools are perverted. And we bind these schools, too, in the mighty name of Jesus. From teaching and infiltrating these children, we command you to cease and desist. We break your power by the blood of Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Father, that these children will be set free. They will have the wisdom to see and know and say, this is crazy, and turn around and run in the mighty name of the Lord. And Father, we give you a special thanks again for Steve and his wife, this beloved couple that is so precious. Rest for their souls. And powerful prayers for their daughter. And reveal your word to them in words in a special way, that they may speak over their daughter, and that she will just be home free. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Praise you, Lord. We love you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for the truth that makes us free. Thank you for this family, Lord. I lift up Stephen and his wife to you, Lord, and I pray that you would give them a revelation, wisdom, and grace in how to speak to their daughter the truth, and that she would be able to receive it. Lord, that she knows who she is and she knows what she is. And we come against these spirits of sexual perversion, gender confusion, sexual identity, lies of the enemy, this deception that's been plaguing the world in schools. It's all part of their agenda, Lord, but we don't receive it and we cast it down. I also ask, God, that you would give Stephen and his wife the grace and wisdom, strength, courage, boldness from you, Lord, to fight the enemy on behalf of their daughter and those of her friends too, Father, because it's everywhere. I pray your mercy upon the people who are doing this, Lord, that you show them how to repent, Lord, that you would give them the grace to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. And we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the good report that you do a quick and mighty work there. And we ask, God, you protect this young girl, Lord, and her classmates. And, Lord, that you would, we lose the angels now and just drive this stuff out of the schools. It does not belong there in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And it's Stephen Darlene. That's his wife's name, Darlene. Stephen Darlene.
All right. Go ahead, Dave.
I just say, Lord, also that we ask that you give this girl friends that find any kind of homosexuality in any way disgusting, and let them voice their opinion and speak their mind and their heart that this is wrong. And that it's not that they want to judge people for that, but they just know in their heart, this is not right. So they're not afraid to speak their mind and say, you know what, this is evil, this is wrong. I want no part of that in my life. And let her friend speak that mind so she too can feel okay and say, you know what, maybe I have a different idea about this. Maybe I too, even though I've been trying to cause me to think this is an okay thing to do, that maybe, you know what, it's wrong. Men are men, women are women, and there's a reason for that. she doesn't have to buckle under the pressure of society, Father. And have the angels minister to her, Lord. Send ministering angels around her and her friends so they can feel comfortable to be young women, and then the boys can feel comfortable being boys without all this mixed up perversion coming out. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I might repeat a little of something that's already been said. I wasn't 100% paying attention. I was writing some things down. But anyway, so in the name of Jesus, we bring a separation of all influences, no matter where they're coming from, anybody or anything that's influencing her, in the name of Jesus. If she's being influenced by any kind of social media, we just break that and cast it down. We send the angels to bring a separation there. There was something else that came to me now. I can't think of it. Help me, Lord.
Yes, you can.
And yes, yeah, help me, Lord, think of it. We thank you, Lord. that, Lord, you will put in Steve and his wife's heart to do whatever it takes to get her out of that school. Wow. And if they can't homeschool, put her in a Christian school. Lord, just make the way, no matter what it is. Help them to make that sacrifice, whatever it is they have to do, Lord, to get her out of school, if that is the main problem in the issue, Lord, and separated from any friends that may be influencing her, anything, anybody, any influence. We just bring about a separation in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Amen. Father, we just ask that you put a backbone in Steve, that he would take authority over these demonic entities that are taking over his child. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Steve, taking that authority that you have already given him. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And now we just thank you, Father, that this young lady is going to come out of that in a mighty way. And we just praise you, Father, because we know it's done. We prayed the prayer of faith, and we just praise you, Lord, that the victory is Steve and his wife, Darlene. They have the victory, and we praise you, Father, for glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now we thank you, Father, for sending your angels out there right now to break the power of these demons upon her, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. I can see you better. I'm looking at postage stamps now. If you'll just raise your hand with that yellow hand, I can see that a whole lot better.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, a rough wave or something like that. Even better. Go ahead.
Well, I have a praise report and a prayer request. I was talking to my mom earlier, and she said the other day that my dad had fallen going into the bathroom. He stumbled and he fell, and he got cut up a little bit over his eye or whatever, but he's fine. And I just want to praise and thank the Lord for having your angels there and just protecting him from hurting himself. And I just thank you for continuing watching over my mom and dad. And I just want to pray about God. I have some things going on here. I've been going to my mom and dad's once a month to help them out and clean and whatever else they need. And then there's over Labor Day weekend, Brooke's mom's having like another baby shower for Brooke, since she's having a boy this time. And I'm like, oh Lord, it's like these, it's like nowadays it's like party everything all the time. And it's like, oh Lord, help. And then I have probably the weekend of the 24th of September is they're going to have a birthday party for Ryder for his first birthday. So I'm like, I'm just seeking the Lord to show me what he wants me to do. If I'm just to wait, my mom's all right if I wait until Labor Day weekend, and I'm not crazy about driving that weekend. And I was just listening to Yoke to Jesus, Being Led by the Spirit. I'm like, okay, not reason it out, Lord. That was a really good Bible study. I have to listen to it again. Somebody suggested on the chat, I think, or on the Tuesday or something. Anyway, so Father, I want to be led by your Spirit. I don't want to reason it out. I want to just be led by you, how I should do this, and you know, when I should go and help my mom, if I should do it the same weekend that this little get together for Brooke and Maverick, or what, Lord. So show me, Lord, direct me, Lord, as to how, as to what I'm supposed to do, Lord. And I'm totally fine with whatever you show me to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry, I had to get my phone. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Tracy.
I want to say amen to that prayer. That was good. Praise amen. God. Can I give a testimony?
Absolutely.
Oh, praise God. So this is really, really cool. I was very, very blessed by this testimony. And you ever have God do something that you're not even looking for him to do, but he just does it because he's God and he's awesome. So I'm in the office, of course, 8 hours, and then I go to my old department and help out for a couple hours after that. And so I work my 8 hours and go over and help out the other department. And there's a laser system. It's kind of hard to explain, but there's two computers put together, and it's a laser system, and it lasers pictures. It lasers pictures and parts onto metal parts. So it's a very, very expensive piece of equipment, as you know. And so basically it's been broken for, I don't even know, 5-6 days. And when I saw that it was broken when I got in there, I asked the other guy I was working with, an Indian guy I work with named Jeff, that's really cool, really good guy. And I asked him, I said, is the laser still broke? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. They said it's really messed up. They can't fix it. All the mechanics and engineers and everybody were in here, and now they're getting outside help. And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, well, maybe I'll give it a go. So I walk back there, and I literally lay my hand on it, and I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just laid my hand on it, and I thanked the Lord for letting it work. I prayed over it. I commanded it to work as it's, you know, created to work. Sat down and I lasered. I did not restart it, didn't do anything else to it. I just sat and it worked. And there's a girl that we text back and forth, and I said, did they fix the laser? She goes, oh no. And she told me the whole spiel. They're getting outside help. It's trash. They think the program's trash. It's too outdated. They can't fix it. Da, 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 da. And I sent her a picture. I said, well, it's working. And she's like, yeah, it was so funny. It was hilarious. And the other guy's like, what? You know, and I sent her the picture. She's like, stop playing. I said, no, really. I said, it's working. She goes, okay, well, I need you to write down step by step what you did for Eric the mechanic. I thought, well, with pleasure. So, of course, I said, I came in. I noticed it was broke. I laid hands. I prayed, and it worked. So, and then I went home, you know, and the next day the whole department was up in a frenzy. They're all confused, talking amongst themselves, you know, just like the word says that God confounds the wise, you know, he used me. So none of them wanted to admit, you know, that I prayed and it worked, which is fine. So the way I figure is they have two options. I'm either smarter than every engineer, mechanic, and outside help that made the laser, or my God fixed their laser. So it's been about 4 days and it's still going. So praise the Lord. He completely fixed that thing and it's amazing. So bless God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can do anything. You can fix anything. You're the best picky out there. In Jesus' name. All right. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, hello, everybody. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for praying for Albert. Surgery he went through yesterday went really well. And all you don't get the, you don't all get the blog. But I just want to say a few things. I'm just praising God and thanking him continually for what he's been doing for him. And they found out that tumor had what's the word? Like crystallized or gotten hard. Starts with a C. calcium. And anyway, got really hard. It was hard, so they had to drill it out. And but praise the Lord, it didn't do anything. It didn't remove any bits of his brain or anything. And I did share about him, right, already? Yeah, you guys know, right? So his brain is intact, and so he's in ICU now, and they tried reducing the sedation, but it really affected him. He was in a lot of pain, and at one point they went back into the room after being gone for a little while, and he was other end of his bed, and his sheet was all in a ball under him, and his pillows at the other end of bed, and they thought he would fall out of his bed. So they had to get that sedation going again. So, everything looks like, you know, good so far. And I know it's all been the Lord, been God all the way. And, what I want to really pray for is that God really get him his soul, that he really turn to the Lord through all this, and that God still give him dreams when he's out. So, he's been a very, I won't go into it right now, but, he needs the Lord. So God, I just thank you for the work you're doing in Albert. I thank you for your goodness to him. I know it's you that gives wisdom to man, Lord God, and it's been you all along, Father God, in this working done in Albert and his surgery, Lord, and just even the finding it, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, and give you all the praise. And I thank you, Father, you're healing him up quickly. So there's going to be a miraculous healing, Father God, and a quick weaning off of these things, Lord, this sedation, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to use this, Lord. I just praise you for the salvation of his soul. That's the most important thing above anything, Lord God. And I just am thanking you for that. And I thank you for everyone's prayers and faith and belief. And we're just going to keep praising and thanking you. So, amen. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in him, too. I believe you're going to bring him in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. All right.
Yes.
Anyone else?
There is a prayer in the chat from Geneva. I can read it.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Can you all pray for the lady that helped watch Micah for us? Her name is Brenda, and she has COVID. She isn't vaccinated, thank the Lord. She is a Christian and believes. A little busy feeding the baby, or else I would say the prayer. If you all could, that would be great. Thank you.
Who was that?
It's from Geneva, and she's talking about a lady that helps watch Micah for us.
Okay.
Her name is Brenda, but she has COVID. So we're praying for her because she has COVID.
Okay, you want to start or right there? What?
Sure. Father, thank you for having another Christian woman with Geneva that watches Micah. And right now she caught that COVID bug, but we know that that bug has no right to be there. And so we're going to, in the name of Jesus Christ, all come together in agreement and say that COVID, whatever it is, you go now in the name of Jesus. You have no authority and right to be in that woman's body. And we believe, because she's a Christian and we know that she has these promises, that this has to happen. It's got to go now in the name of Jesus. Well, thank you, Father, for healing this woman and taking that infirmity away from her. Satan, You have no authority on that body with that disease. Go now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father.
Amen. We put our faith together with David and Geneva. And we thank you, Father, that it is done. This spirit of infirmity is left this lady and taken all the symptoms with it in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that it is done. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Geneva's got her babysitter back. Amen. All right, go ahead, Mary and Marilyn.
I just wanted to tack on there just a little bit. And Father, we thank you for Brenda and the blessing that she's been to Geneva and Morgan and Micah. And Father, I just thank you and praise you that Geneva and Morgan's house is covered with the blood of Jesus. No evil shall befall them, and no pestilence shall come near their dwelling. And so any time that Brenda was around Micah is completely completely protected. She's covered with the blood of Jesus. And that I cast down any spirit of anxiety or worry or concern from Geneva and Morgan. Micah is just completely, she's under the wings of Jesus. And this isn't going to come near her. She's not going to have any symptoms or anything. So, Father, we thank you and praise you that we can cast all our burdens to you and you sustain us and you will not suffer the righteous to be moved. And we're not getting out of the rest on any of this. And thank you for hearing and answering with a yea and an amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, Megan, go ahead, girl.
Yes, I need a prayer request. My job is. Do you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can. Go ahead.
Okay. Any prayer request to my job is so many people. Well, several people went home, and with some kind of symptoms with COVID, and we low on staff. I need prayer for protection. Myself and others, and can have production on time.
All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we lift up Megan and all of her co-workers with her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your blood covering every one of them to keep to protect them from any kind of spirits of infirmity whatsoever. It don't make any difference what they call themselves. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father. For blessing this company to keep the workers there to keep up production in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that those that have said that they have come down with this spirit of infirmity, we break the power of that spirit of infirmity on them and command it to go from them. And we thank you, Father, that every one of them will be back to work in the next day or so. In Jesus' name, Lord, to your glory. To your glory, Lord, and we do this in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for sending out your angels out there right now to take care of business. And we praise you, Father, because we know it's done. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Megan, you believe that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen. It's done. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Yeah, Isaac or Marietta.
Hey, everybody. I said today in the chat there'd be a part two, right? I guess. Excuse me. So the because the testimony that I had the other day, which was, like I say, it's quite miraculous when I think about it. And it just blows my mind how awesome it was. Anyways, tomorrow will be my last day of work officially. I've just been hanging out at the house, cleaning up some stuff for the company I presently work at. Anyways, but I've been having a lot of job offers, but a lot of job interviews. I mean, I probably had 6 or 7 today. I'm not sure. And the thing is, it's insane. I say insane. It's probably not the right word. One, there's favor, but and today, you know, just a lot of people that had skill sets or have retired. There's not a big, you know, like all the skill back in the day, like say is just retiring. So it's a pretty wide open market right now. Y'all know that who's in skilled trades. excuse me. Sorry about that. Anyways, thinking which is the best fit for me? Like what's the best fit? And I had a job offer at a company that was, seemed really good. Everything seemed real great. And as Michael is where we were talking how I would be kind of renovating older equipment to newer equipment, so which sounds pretty cool. But here's the thing. I'm kind of going through a recruiting agency, and it's a contract to hire. Now, I've never done contract to hire. If somebody tells me that, I just walk away. Not walk away, but I politely decline. Anyways, because there's always strings attached. So this one happened, there was a lot of miscommunication from the recruiting agency and the company because the company manager just called me, you know, like last week said, hey, you're the guy for the job. I told you all that, but they're writing up this contract for me and it's, it was a 7-month contract to hire. Insurance is outrageous, you know, whatever else. And I just told them, I said, if all due respect, there's no way I'm signing this contract. I said, that's not something that I want to deal with. And she's like, oh, okay. And well, now they're on vacation. And I couldn't get a hold of anybody on the recruitment side. And I'm still taking interviews, and I have some more interviews next week. What's wild is this. I call the manager. He's a hard fellow to get a hold of because anybody in, you know, not trying to make this long-winded here, but when you're like the head of maintenance for a facility or multiple facilities, you can imagine you'd be pretty busy. Anyways, he just called me out of the blue, and he said, hey, Isaac, what's going on? And I told him. And now, like I say, this fellow is a pastor. I don't know where he stands. I really haven't had too much conversation with him about it. But he pretty cheery fella. I mean, he even told me when he first talked to me, he said, hey, I just want to let you know, if I come in to see you, I'm probably going to give you a hug and, just bless you. And I said, well, that's awesome. I haven't had too many bosses do that. Anyways, they usually want to rebuke me. Anyways, so the thing is he called me and said, what's going on? And I said, well, here's the thing, man. I said, I'm really excited for this opportunity, you know, to work at this company. I said, but I just don't know about contract to hire. I said, man, that's usually a red flag. And I said, I mean that with all due respect. I said, but 7 months with this insurance premium, that is, it's really not feasible. And he goes, I'll tell you what, you got a second? I said, yeah. So I didn't know what he's doing, but he called me and three-wayed me on the phone with the hiring agency. And he said, hey, here's what I want y'all to do. He said, I want to make it to where I'm buying him out after 3 months because they have to go through this process. Anybody that's ever gotten this company has went through this process. He said, 3 months I'm hiring. He said, and you're paying his vacations and you're going to pay his insurance premiums. He's not going to pay for anything. He said, so all that's covered. And if you can't do it, then you forward me the bill and I'm covering it. And he said, and I'll get that in writing. And he said, I want to give him the title he asked for, which because it was controls technician, but I wanted to be called, I know that sounds trivial. I want to be controls engineer just for future reference because companies can be like, well, why are you? Nothing wrong with that. It's just because it's a trivial matter and I guess I care about it. Let's be honest. Anyways, so he said, I want the title, give him the pay he asks, pay his vacation. He said, give him the time he wants off until he comes to work and pay for his insurance. And if you can't do any of that, then you call me. And he said, and I'll pay for it. He said, but either way, this is what we're doing. And I was like, man, what a bold fella. And man, I was really blessed by it, you know, because it's really cool. And y'all just, I want to thank the Lord because he has given me favor because quitting a job on the fly, you know, let me say this again. I don't recommend somebody do that unless you're really led. But, you know, like Mariana said, I don't know if y'all read that testimony, but when I got back home, I started, that doubt started hitting me because I was, it's early in the morning, I laid down and I started to think and, you know, idle thoughts, you know, idle time. And I was like, man, maybe I'll just schedule and go back out there to San Fran. If some of you guys haven't heard testimony, you can find it on the website. It'll make more sense, but hang with me. I don't want to go through that again for sake of time. Anyways, I said, well, I'll just fly out there the next day and put my 2 weeks notice on the road. She goes, Isaac, they're going to have to throw you off the plane like Jonah. And she said, you want me swallowed by a giant bird? And I said, no. So it was just real wonderful. And the Lord's really having grace on me. And, you know, I'm just saying prayer. Lord, thanks for the situation. Thank you, Lord, that you've even used this to bless other those interviewers too, Lord. Bless them, regardless of what happens. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to say one more thing, and I'm done. So that one lady we prayed for, her, who was a recruiter, her really just such a nice lady. Her daughter's husband committed suicide, and it's been hard on the family. And she's been really strong, man. She's bold and strong. And we were talking, and I sent her a PDF and sent her Sovereign God. She sent it to her daughter, and she goes, you know, Isaac, I'm going through that book. She goes, I'm going to print it out. And she goes, I'm going to start handing it out. And I said, because she called me the other day, and she wanted to thank me. I was like, man, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, because, man, that's awesome. That's all just, hey, hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Father, for working in Isaac and Mariana's life. We thank you, Lord, for placing him in his place where I know he's going to be satisfied. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. That's a great testimony, Isaac. God's right there with you, brother. Go ahead, Ray and Jude.
I felt led today to share with all of you. Well, this is a praise report regarding myself. I don't know how I come across on the outreach, but the truth is I'm a very good person. And when I was very young, and it was short-lived, I was quite gregarious. And I'll give you a couple of examples as to what I mean by that. When I was in first grade, I had a nun as my teacher who I just loved dearly. In fact, I had received in my heart the Lord Jesus because of her. She so portrayed Jesus in my life. I mean, when I was, but the thing is, while she was teaching, there were times I'd get up from my desk and I'd start going around to the other pupils to talk to them. And so one day my mother gets a phone call from this teacher, and my mother gets all dressed up and comes back, and she says, June, I went to school thinking your teacher was going to tell me what a good student you are. But instead, she told me how you're very disruptive. And she told me you had to make some changes. But she said, June, she did say she doesn't want you to change too much. And another example would be, the same teacher, if you didn't do well on a particular test, would have you come up and get a spanking, literally. And so this girl was weeping, and I felt really bad. She was scared. Apparently, she'd never been on that line before, but I had. So I said to her, I said, don't worry. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. Well, I go on that line again, and when the teacher sees me, she must have heard me when I was speaking to the girl, but I was oblivious to it. She said to me, you're here again? And she grabbed me, and she threw me over her lap. And she started pounding at me. And I mean, don't get the wrong. I wasn't hurt physically, but I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed. So there I was in first grade with that kind of attitude. I was very childlike. And, you know, I was thinking today, something changed because even by the time I was 7 years old, I became an introvert. And it just hit me very shortly. It's because I believe now I went from the Catholic school, which I enjoyed in those couple of years I had, into the public school. And something just changed in me. Bottom line is this, that the Lord made it very clear to me recently that he didn't want me to be a recluse. And that is how I came to outreach. And I just bless the Lord that this has been so fulfilling for me to get to know you people and to be able to bond with people who are serious about their walk with the Lord. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better, and I just praise the Lord for it. That's my first praise report. I got one more. The other one is the other day I had asked about if the criminal on the cross, if he had gone to heaven. And the reason I questioned it so much, because I was very impressed with the fact that he had made known that the Lord was who he said he was. But being that I couldn't find that second witness, I was a little confused as to what that meant. So for 2 days, I had prayed about it. I spoke out loud, James 1:5, if you're lacking wisdom, you know, just ask the Lord and he will liberally give. And after reading various things in the Bible, and all of a sudden it struck me, John, I think it's verse 36, 34, where the Lord says, yet I do not receive the testimony from man. And I thought, wait a minute. The Lord says that man needs two or more witnesses. But Jesus is God in the flesh. He doesn't need man's testimony. And actually, the only reason we have it, like with, for example, Moses and John the Baptist, he said it's for our salvation. So I'm just very thankful that I got that revelation that meant so much to me to get. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Jess. All right. Anyone else? Let's see here, just a moment. Well, I was going to, thought I saw a new one in here. We had a newbie in here a while ago. I don't see her anymore. Had a 716 number. Who is Gabby and Rebecca and Rebecca and Katie had recommended come on. Y'all remember them. Okay. Hey, Willie, go ahead, brother.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
We are blessed beyond our wildest dreams.
Awesome. The Lord gave me a very simple revelation. Because, you know, we all struggle with faith. And the biggest struggle about faith is not understanding that you've been joined unto Christ. I've heard you read Smith Wigglesworth's books. And in one of those testimonies, he says, faith is knowing that God loves you. And his faithfulness comes from his love. And you know, often I would sit there and struggle to have faith because it never equated that, you know, God loves me. I grew up, I taught myself to be how can I put it? Everything was duty. It wasn't about love with God. It was about duty. Do it or else. Do it or die. Do it or sin. Do it or be punished. Do it or not be blessed. And so I struggled with faith. Because to me, having faith was a duty. And it was like, it felt like a responsibility of works, if you understand what I mean. So instead of me looking at it through the love of God toward me, and the love of God and the love I should have toward him, I looked at the responsibility of faithfulness as just a duty that needed to be fulfilled. And if that duty wasn't fulfilled, I'm not faithful. And God would not answer. And I would have to suffer and suffer and suffer for my lack of faith. But the Lord corrected me. And he did it when, you know, I was refusing to read Smith Wigglesworth's book. Because I'm like, what kind of person can walk like that in the power of God? You know, I don't comprehend. I can't see how that's done. I don't understand. You know, how is it that he walks like that, does all these mighty signs and wonders? You know, and I was somewhere in the middle of the book when I stopped reading it. And so I went back to the beginning. You know, the Lord just had me go back to the beginning, you know, and just start reading Smith Wigglesworth's book again. And so I went to the beginning, started reading, and found out that faith is not based on how hard you believe, but understanding that God loves you and you love God. And it was like this weight was lifted. This lack of knowledge that I had concerning, you know, faith. I'm like, where did faith come from? I always look for a source. For me, having a source, knowing where it came from, how it operates, you know, I never equated it to God's faithfulness is born out of his love for us. I just kind of looked at faith as a responsibility of duty. If you know what I mean? Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Real good. Well, then go ahead.
And so the Lord broke that state of mind over my life. And I realized, wait a minute. Faith is that easy? Faith is understanding that I love God and he loves me? No wonder he kept saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Smith Wigglesworth loved his neighbor as himself. He walked in the love of God. Therefore, all these signs follow. And that's why he kept saying, but the greatest of these is love. You know, and you would think after so many years of reading the Bible, you'd get it. But the Lord is gracious and he's merciful. And he lets you go through this long path because it's necessary that when he needs you to get it, you get it. And then you'll never let it go. You won't forget it. You won't receive it with a high-minded desire or devour it upon your own lust. But I just wanted to share that, you know. I thought it was really neat. Changed my perspective of faith and answered my question about faith. I'm done.
Hey, brother, I got something to back that up for you, too. In Scripture, it says, faith worketh by love.
Amen. If you go all the way back, Brother Lawrence said the same thing.
Amen.
All right, Missy, go ahead. Thank you, Willie.
Well, this is how I would, how the Lord's shown me that, Willie, is that, okay, faith, if you don't believe God's word, you can't obey it. And if you love God, you will obey it too, because he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So faith, love, and obedience are all tied together. And yeah, because if you don't believe God's word, you don't have the ability, you know, to obey it. And if you love God, the biggest reason is because he gave his son, you know, and he loved Jesus because he laid down his life, you know. And there's no greater love than this, than a man laid down his life for his friend, you know. And
I wasn't acquainted.
Love one another. Love one another as I've loved you, you know, and that's laying down our lives. So, yeah, it's all intertwined. You can't, the three of them are closely knit together, faith, love, and obedience. And, you know, the proof of our love for the Lord is our obedience. And we can't obey him without believing his word. Because it's like, I mean, if somebody told you to go jump off a cliff and God would catch you, you wouldn't do that if you didn't believe it, you know. I mean, that's like the devil tempting Satan. I mean, the devil tempting Jesus, but like that was a very poor example. But anyway, if some, you know,
yeah,
you're not going to do something if someone tells you, if you don't believe them, you know. So anyway, ouch.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I've always had a desire to see people healed. And I've always wanted to be in the way of healing. Everything's a ministry. All that Jesus did was the ministry through love, you know, and I don't separate them. I don't split them up and be like, hey, ministry of healing, ministry of this, ministry of that. Jesus did it all in one. You know, it's just the gospel. But I wasn't equating Jesus' death as love, but moreover as a duty. Something that had to be done because something that needed to be done. And as much as I read it and saw it and read it and saw it and read it and saw it, it wasn't clicking. Then it finally clicked. You know, and when it does that, it gives you a different perspective of the patience and long suffering of God. You know, and his hate for sin. His hate for sin through his demonstration of his love toward us. And, you know, and how he says, you know, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now I understand that statement. You know, where it says we've been joined unto Christ. Now I understand that statement. You know, for me, being joined unto Christ was a duty I had to fulfill or else. It wasn't love to me. It was or else. And I struggled with that or else for years. That's the way I grew up in churches. You know, and you wouldn't believe how long it lingers with you until God shows you. But I'm glad I went through all of that, you know, because all those whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and chases and scourges every child that comes unto him. He uses the experiences that we go through, that we went through, the lifestyle that we live to do it. And so I'm very grateful. I'm grateful. But I do ask for prayer for one thing. I need closure concerning my friend's death. Because this person was so close to me 28 years, it's Satan still uses it to take advantage.
Okay, let's pray. In the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of grief off of him, off of Willie right now. In Jesus' name, you go from him. You will not have any kind of control over him anymore. In the name of Jesus, we break your power, bind you up, cast you off of him right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for complete deliverance from any kind of hindrance that this death has caused Willie in the future, now and in the future, in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. Complete deliverance in Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
And I thank you guys for that, because he uses it so much, you know, that I fall into this place where you want to destroy yourself. Like, and it's not good. No, those thoughts, those feelings, that emptiness, you know. And you want to be, steadfast, and you want to, you know, read and pray, and, you know, but that, not having that closure can, woo, I'll tell you something.
Amen.
But amen.
It's gone. It's gone. We break the power of any kind of suicide thoughts in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Missy, you apparently didn't get through a while ago. Did you want to add something to it?
Well, I wanted to add to what Willie was saying. I was just sitting here thinking, and this may be a no-brainer, but I just kind of like, I never quite correlated it this way. You know, talking about God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Okay, he gave his son to take away our sins, you know, and not just to take away our sin. He gave his son to us so that we can be Jesus too. We can be just like him. You know, there's like in a sense, there's these two givings. he laid down his life, but then because he laid down his life and we're washed and cleansed, he gave him to us also that he's the firstborn among many brethren, you know? And so, yeah, I never quite correlated it quite that way before. That's his love, you know, that's the love again. Whosoever believes in him, you know, he laid down his life, not just so that we could have our sins washed away. It wasn't the end of it, you know, that's what so many Christians believe, you know, they just want to be forgiven and then live the rest of their lives the way they want. You know, he loves his son, and he gives his son to us, and in him is life, you know, and when we're in him, you know, he loves us. It's Jesus in us that he loves. And Jesus was always obedient to the Father. There was no sin in him. So thank you, Lord, that we are dead unto sin and alive unto God, and we've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I like how this is a message on love, the love of God. And I'm going to help with some of this, because the Lord's been gave me these verses the last few days, and it's kind of helps you understand a little bit about this. It helped me because I was struggling here, you know, with my flesh a little bit. Because of, you know, just the things I struggle with. And one of the passages he gave me was Mark 2:17, and I'll read 2:15 to 2:17, and I'll explain how this works. And so it came to pass, he was sitting at meat in his house, and many publicans and sinners sat down with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many that were following him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw it, where he was eating and with the sinners and publicans, said to his disciples, how is it he eats and drinks with the publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, they that are whole have no need of physician, but they are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. And so sometimes we can be kind of drawn into our understanding of the scriptures to the point that it makes us forget, like, oh, well, yeah, I'm still a sinner. I still qualify for that, because if I become righteous in my knowledge of who I am and what how I walk and where I am in Christ, and think it's from me, I forgot that my Savior is the one that brought me to this point, and he can easily let go and let me become a sinner again. And even that, we still struggle with our flesh. So Jesus came to save sinners, and he's going to make us righteous. All right. So count on that. That's what he's going to do. But the ones that are already righteous don't need him. Okay. Another thing he gave me, which was really good, and this points this out even farther. He gave me Matthew 20:22. And I had to think about this one too, what he was telling me, because that helped me. Then came to him the mother of the son of Zebedee with her sons, worshiping him and asking a certain thing of him. And he said to her, what would you? And she said to him, command that my two sons may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. You know, wow, nice and lofty request there. And then but Jesus said to her, you know not what you ask. He said, are you able to drink the cup I'm able to drink? And they said to him, we are able. And he said, my cup you will indeed drink. But to sit on my right hand and the left is not mine to give, but it is for them whom it is has been prepared by Father. He just told you something there. Now, he's going to go to his cross. And that means we're going to go to our cross too, of course. But he said, you indeed will drink this cup. You will have that. In other words, he's not going to just say, okay, well, you know what? You got to follow after me. He says, you're going to do this. And I'm going to help you do it. If he says you're going to do it, guess what? It's going to be something he's going to do for you to help you do it, go through that. It's going to be accomplished by him. That's why he can say that. He commanded it to happen so that it's going to be fulfilled in us. It's not like we've got to worry about how to make this happen. He's going to do it. That is a command. I promise you it's going to happen, he said. It's going to work. So don't worry about, oh, well, geez, I'm not really doing too well on my cross here, Lord. He says, no, you know, believe me, I'll have you drink the cup. It's going to be fine. Think of it that way. Because he's going to help you fulfill that. So worry about, you know, how this standing in righteousness with God works. He's going to make it happen. He does, though, kind of warn us. He said, if you walk, and he did this one with Leviticus with me, let me know, hey, listen, got to abide by the rules still. He said, and Leviticus 26:21 and 22 is the one I got, 26:22. He says, if you walk contrary to me, will not listen to me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you, according to your sin. Here we go. We get that correction is going to happen. He will correct you. He said, I'll send a beast of the field among you, and shall rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, make you few number, and you, your ways shall become desolate. He said, whoa, that sounds pretty bad, don't it? You know what he's saying? He says, you know what? I'm going to bring correction in your life. If you're not listening, I'm going to bring correction in your life. And it's not going to be pleasant, but I'll bring correction in your life. And I'll keep on correcting you until you decide to repent and turn. So count on that, too. That's the faithfulness of God to make sure he gets you on the right path. But he also, when he says that, he came back with another good one to help me out, to help us out. He's faithful. All right. He gave me Psalm 40:10, but I'm going to start from Psalm 41. It's good because he's coming back and being our Savior. And it's a Psalm of David. He says, David, here's David. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me, and he heard my cry. How many times, you know, I cry to the Lord a lot. I know you guys do too. We're crying to the Lord, you know, and he's hearing us. He's listening. And he says, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, not out of the miry clay. And he's going to bring you out of that, Willie. He's bringing you out of it now. Count on that. He hears your cry. He hears all of our cry. He heard you, June. He set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor turns aside to his lies. You know, if we've fallen in any way, just turn to the Lord and pour your heart out to him. He hears you, you know. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts that are towards us, that they cannot be set in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, yeah, God, just, he's there. He's there. Sacrifice and offerings you have no delight in. Hey, you know what? We're not going to get there by our works, are we? At least not by our physical works, what we think we can do to please God, but we're going to get there, which goes with obedience and hearing and hearkening what he says and taking the correction and moving forward in our life. It's a sacrifice and offering you have no delight. My ears have you opened. Burnt offering, the sin offerings you have not required. We are sacrifices, Jesus. Put it back on the cross, Lord. Thank you. Here's my sins. Think I'll take the, I'll receive the free forgiveness, you know, for what you've done and move forward in my life. There we go. Then said I, lo, I have come and roll a book and written to me. I think that's written about Jesus, isn't it? I delight to do your will, O God. Yes, your law is within my heart. Don't we all have that? We do. We have that. God's put that in us. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great assembly. Lo, I will not refrain my lips, O Lord. You know, I have not hid my righteousness within my heart. I have not hid your righteousness within my heart, your righteousness. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Oh, we're claiming that salvation, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Your loving kindness, God. Thank you. Withhold not your tender mercies from me, O Lord, and let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we got to remind ourselves of, you know. He came to save sinners. He's there to help us. He's going to put us on the cross. He promises you that, but he's going to help you get through it. He's going to make sure you fulfill it. But he's going to correct you along the way. He's going to be faithful to help you do that. And his loving kindness is going to be there. You're going to sit there and be praising the Lord all the way through. He's going to be loving you through it. He's going to show you that he loves you in the process. He's not going to be unfaithful. He's always going to love you. And you're just going to be thankful the whole way through. And we're going to get there. And he's going to pull us out of those miry pits when we get there. We all go in them, but he's going to pull us out. But he's got to let us maybe see where we need a little correction too along the way. And he's going to help us do that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. That's just some of the words he gave me here the last couple of days.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I have a prayer request.
Okay.
One of my friends from my church, he left this morning to go to Pennsylvania and got a new job in Pennsylvania. So
you want to pray?
So he's,
we'll agree with you.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we just hope they find a new church and a good church in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for protecting them on the way up there. And let somebody run across them that knows the true gospel, and we'll give it to them and they will receive it in Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just hook our faith up with Nick and believe, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Rebecca, is that you?
Hi, sorry, this is Gabby. I was having some issues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm the newbie you guys are talking about.
Okay. All right, newbie, go ahead. How you doing, Gabby?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams, girl.
Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, during this conversation, I was kind of pondering on something that the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago when I was sitting in my car. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the term of burnout, but I hear a lot of people say it within the faith and how they say that, you know, once you're like 10, 15, 20 years in the faith, that a thing called burnout happens where basically you're not as zealous for the Lord and you don't have as much passion. I was really pondering that and I was thinking, well, God, is that true? I feel like through your words, it should be the opposite, you know, like as we are more sanctified and perfected into his image, aren't we going to be at more joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength? And I was having all these thoughts. And then I was remembering that I feel like a lot of new believers are very, very zealous because they're remembering the former things that they were saved out of. And it was really connecting with me because I was reading Exodus just recently again. And I kept noticing how the Lord kept commanding them to remember how he saved them out of Egypt. And you know, for us, our Egypt is bondage to sin, like what we used to be in. And so for me, I'm still pretty new in the faith. I've only been doing this for 2 years, like truthfully been born again. You know, I was raised in the church, but that doesn't mean too much. And so even I sometimes, like I can fall into this pattern of forgetting, you know, the sin that I was in and the darkness that I was living in until I was born again. And so I really do believe, like, kind of what you guys were saying earlier, it is God's righteousness and remembering that it is him that does the work in us, I believe is what keeps us zealous and passionate for him to continue, you know, working for the kingdom.
Amen. That's good. Absolutely. And it takes staying in the Word to keep you energized in Christ. Go ahead. You got something else?
No, that was an accident. Sorry. I keep pressing the wrong number.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. All right. Anyone else on faith? All right. The subject tonight, if y'all remember, was what is it about John, the Gospel of John, and why is it so different than the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Yeah, Nick, you got the answer, buddy.
Because of John the Baptist?
Well, not quite. This is John the Apostle John that wrote that, the disciple. But John the Baptist was a great man. That's what Jesus said. All right. Yes, June and and right, whichever one it is. It's got the hand up. I can't tell. That we have unisex hands up there, so I can't tell whether it's a woman's or a man's hand. Yeah, you got to do this if you're a woman.
There we go.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to mind with me is that the Gospel of John is the most spiritual. I mean, like if you look and study.
We can't hear you for whatever reason. No, can't hear you. You muted your phone, I guess, or your computer or something.
Well,
who can?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay. Now we can.
Okay. I was saying that I find the Gospel of John the most spiritual. Like Matthew, there's a lot of genealogy and history in it. And that's the thing that comes to mind. I started reading the Bible by reading the Gospel of John because I just found it so spirit-filled and I was just holding on to it. It was just reaching my spirit so strongly.
Amen. Well, you know, what John did, he wrote out all the specifics of all the little stories that were told in the first three Gospels, but he had real longer versions of them. He was writing out the spiritual things of them as well. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
It'll be me speaking.
That's fine. Go ahead,
Ben. What I really like, John, the Gospel of John is probably my favorite out of the four because it truly shows that Jesus was God or deity on earth. The very first thing that it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and Jesus was God made in the flesh, like the Word of God made in flesh. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And therefore, we were with Jesus, predestined with Jesus before the creation of time. And so he's sort of putting it into perspective of he was so much more than just Son of God. He was God on earth, and we were with him with the Word of God. And it's just, it's a mind-blowing sentence because it's bringing us all the way before Genesis, before the world was even created. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It's just God on earth.
Yeah, it's my favorite gospel as well, probably everybody's, because of the in-depth that John goes into his love for Jesus. He just told so much more into all the little stories that you read. Other gospels, they just ran through it pretty quick, but John elaborated on it. It's great. Showing the love of Christ. Anybody else? Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Okay. You know, I don't know how to reason, but something when I read John, because I like it too, it's something I always thought was kind of funny. He always, you know, and I don't know why, maybe it was kind of maybe I'm reading too much into this. Let me just start there. But he always said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Yeah. You know, and it always kind of makes me laugh a little bit because it's like, there's a little camaraderie there, right? And because if you read in John 24, because starting with 2, it says, let me see. It says, she runneth therefore and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. And they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb. And I always think that's funny because it just seems like it's, you know, I don't know, just in my imagination, I feel like, obviously Jesus did love them all and love John, but I see John and Peter just, you know, really loving each other too, right? Like, I imagine they really loved each other, as we all should. But I just always enjoyed it. I always enjoyed the side that John portrayed. And I don't know, it was just always a and I don't mean that in any competitive sense. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying when I read into it, I'm like, man, it's interesting because you kind of see their walk and their perspective and even their thought a little bit. Well, it's actually the Holy Spirit, but you get what I'm saying. But I just always really enjoyed it.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Well, yeah, to tag on to what Isaac was saying, you know, it's like he John, you know, none of the other Matthew, Mark, or Luke that I recall talk about themselves like John does, you know, and he talks about himself in like third person kind of thing or whatever. And it's just interesting how he does that. Like, you know, that's just to go along with what you were saying, Isaac, and it's unique, you know. It was his own, like you're saying, his own personal perspective on things, you know. So it's kind of funny, you know, was it James and John, you know, the sons of Zebedee that's, you know, or their mother or whatever said, you know, and I'm guessing that was the same John, you know, can they sit on your right hand, you know? and it's kind of like, you know, but I don't think John, I think it's just like John, you know, I don't think there was any pride in that when he was saying, you know, the disciple or whatever that Jesus loved. I think it was just like, I think he just stated that because he's probably just so fascinated or just so like, wow, he loves me. Not that it wasn't a pride thing like, oh, he doesn't love y'all as much as me or anything like that. It was just like, I think he was just, you know, it was just his, I guess his expression of his love for the Lord too. And just in all that the Lord loved him. So, anyway, that's just, some thoughts I had on it.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Andrew or Benjamin?
Well, I recall reading some of the martyrdom. They tried to martyr John. They were going to boil him in oil. And it was in the middle of a Colosseum. Of course, they had these Colosseums all over the place like we have theaters now. What they did was they brought the wood in. They brought the big thing of oil, a bucket for oil, a cauldron of oil. They kept bringing vessels of oil out, and so it would heat up. Then they finally took out a big leg of lamb or something, and they put it in the oil. And when you do that in hot oil, of course, the steam would go up, and of course, the whole crowd would cheer. This is the new movie theater here, you know, that they had back then. They had to pay to get in there, so it was big business. And they tried to make business out of the Christians and other people that were criminals, of course. And then it came time to put the Apostle John in there. Of course, the leader of the governor that had the chief seat there was asking the executioner, you make sure that we get this guy. Because we heard before that sometimes when we send them in there with animals, they don't kill them. And sometimes they don't die. So you better think of a way that this leader of Christianity would die. So they thought of boiling them in oil. So they lowered, after they put the meat in and it was all cooked. And of course, the guy picked off a piece of meat and actually ate it too. They were going to put John in there. So he was out of the original apostles, he was the only one that survived and martyred them, I would say. He was protected by God. And so there was a great love there for him because his work was not finished yet. And there will be people's work that are not finished in our day too. I sort of sense that this is those people who go to heaven alive, you know, and in 1 Corinthians 15:51. So when they lowered it in, John the Apostle, in the boiling oil, it was like a shield of light surrounded him. And they put him right in. Nothing happened to him. The governor was perplexed. This was a great witness to everyone in the stand. And, they pulled him out and they said, get rid of him. And they put him on in the prison colony on the island of Patmos. And that's where he wrote all his books. So there was I think something special about John that is prophetic for us. And though I know the Lord loved all of his apostles, and he really did love them all. And Peter was grieved a bit when the Lord asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And of course, the third time, he understood that he asked him, "Do you agape?" And that's some of the things that some people think because he denied him three times, he told him he loved him three times too, which is not a bad thing to say, but it's what it is. You know, he asked him three times. And He got it the third time. So we have to love like Peter loved. And of course, we all know the Apostle Peter and his wonderful letters there that he wrote. Great God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. You know, how many of you were told when you got saved to read the book of John? That's what they used to do, is tell us to read the book of John. Well, that's okay, but John is such a long chapter by the time you got through it, you know. I think a better book for a new beginners is James. It gives you all the rules and things about faith and walking in Christ. And it's short. It's only 5 chapters. Not 21.
Start him out with 3 John.
Hey, what?
John, 3 John, the page?
Yeah, there you go.
You'll get the truth there.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on in the chat, but 87? Good gracious. Somebody.
Prayers, Michael. We've been praying for each other.
Yeah, uh-huh.
No, we have been.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything else on John? Or Mark? Or Luke? All right. Let me get my book here. Well, I don't remember what I did with it. All right. Has anybody got something else they'd like to talk about tonight? Talked about faith. You want to talk some more about faith? There's a book. There's many books. But there's how many of you ever read, what's the name of that book? The Presence of God,
Practicing the Presence of God?
What?
Is it by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God?
Yeah, that's right. You got it. Practicing the Presence of God. Has anybody in here read that book? How many of you have applied it, what he gave you? Is it working for you? And it's not a trick question. I just started reading it. And I am amazed at some of the things that he gave out. Go ahead, Pat. We'll talk about it later.
Well, you can talk about it now. I was wondering when you mentioned in there in John why it was so different, and I felt like I mean, I didn't really have a favorite, or don't really have a favorite of the Gospels, because they to me it's just like they're different perspectives of the same Lord. But and quite frankly, if I was to say that I liked one better than the other, I always liked Luke the best, because that was, to me, was the beginning, you know, through Mary, the story of Mary and the angel Gabriel and that whole process. And but just when we were talking about it, of course, the topic has kind of been love, and it is kind of interesting that John refers to, you know, he's talking about in those two verses, referring to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And it was John that was always close and, you know, leaning on his breast and, you know, just very close with Jesus, who was one of the three that were, you know, went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. So, and I think the thing that was hitting me, which kind of goes with the theme of what we're talking about tonight, and that is, you know, even from Willie when he was starting with the revelation of faith and making that connection with love, and I guess I don't know how, you know, I'm kind of at a loss for words here in this, but the power of love, and it seems to be the supreme motivation for any of the rest. Any of the acts, any of the of faith, any works, that it's out of love and that motivation that with that love makes those things easy. And without that love makes those things a duty, I guess, kind of what Willie was saying. So I guess I hadn't thought about it a lot in that context, but anyway, so actually the reason I raised my hand, because it's interesting that I really liked the Gospel of Luke, probably the best out of them. However, it was the verses in the Gospel of John that brought me to him. And it's kind of funny, I say I'm getting emotional even thinking about it now. But it was the love that I was attracted to in the Lord. And some of those stories, you know, when the harlot was brought before him, caught in the very act of adultery, and, you know, they were going to stone her. And out of that, I mean, his response to that, you know, after he, by his wisdom, put the the lawyers to shame and they walked away. And just that whole thing, that whole scene, just it, to me is emotional, brings emotion to my, just the expression of love and acceptance that he had as he reached down and lifted her up and said, you know, where are your accusers? And the accusers were all shamed and left. And then he said, neither do I accuse, you know, neither do I condemn you, go thy way. And it was that expression of love that so attracted me to the Lord that I wanted to be near. I felt like I could trust somebody who could love like that. When the repentant, I don't know if she was a harlot or whatever, I think she was, came in and with her tears washed his feet. And again, he shamed by his wisdom and his answer, shamed those religious leaders around her and, you know, reached down and touched her and said, you know, go thy way, thy faith has saved thee, etc. Just the compassion and love there was so attractive to me that, you know, that it drew me to the Lord. And in my seeking, it was the verses, I think, in John 14, if I'm not mistaken, where he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And of course, that was the verse that opened my eyes to who the Lord Jesus was. Everything else was just attraction, but that was the verse that I realized who Jesus was. And the ironic thing, or I don't know if it's ironic is a word, I didn't even realize I was a sinner. I didn't even realize I was condemned without him. I only knew that I wanted to be with him. It wasn't until he led me into the Baptist church that I got to see a little bit deeper, you know, things behind the scenes, shall we say. But I guess the thing that I'm saying is that I was attracted to the Lord by his love. And I had to learn about sin after that. And so maybe that's why the Gospels are different. Maybe certain people are attracted by certain aspects of the Lord's life. So I guess, you know, that would be my testimony, and I'm sure everyone here has their own testimony as well. I would be interested in hearing, you know, people share about what was the verse or the group of scriptures or maybe the concept that brought you to the Lord. How did you make the transition from darkness to light? You know, I know that I could listen all night long to people talking about how they made the connection with Jesus, because there's thousands and thousands of ways. Of course, once you go through a religion and the churches and everything. Everybody's got their rote, you know, standard Romans road or this or that or whatever it would be. But, you know, God has his own way. If you read the book, Practicing the Presence of the Lord by Brother Lawrence, you're going to struggle if you were a Baptist, because Brother Lawrence came to the Lord by an enlightenment of nature and how the God of nature created this nature around us, etc. Now, you'd have Baptists, you know, marching up and down the aisles hearing something like that. But when you finish reading that book, you'll see that Brother Lawrence was able to make a connection with God, and he was a monk that served in the monastery in the kitchen washing dishes and that, and he learned to bring Jesus into his life as a dishwasher or whatever, as a servant. And whereas society or the world at that time, you know, thought that you had to become a preacher or a monk and give your, you know, they had their whole different process that they, you know, that you have to do this, this, and this to be holy and be with God. But Brother Lawrence broke the rules. He went directly to God, and God came to him and lived his life in Brother Lawrence. He was able to walk with Jesus through the daily life. Now, when I first read that book, it meant a lot to me, because the Lord showed me early in the Baptist game, you might say, when everybody that had everybody got touched by the Lord, the first thing they tried to do is get you into Bible school or something like that. And I remember my pastor saying something like that. I said, no. And this is after I read Brother Lawrence's book. I said, no, I think the Lord's got enough pastors. He just needs more people on the street. Or I made some comment like that. I don't remember. But it was after reading Brother Lawrence's book and how Brother Lawrence, a common person, was able to bring Christ and God into his life and touch others with it. So anyway, I guess I'm through babbling. Amen.
No, that's good stuff. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, Pat, you're talking about that. Sorry, guys, I'm not trying to switch gears on you, but you're talking about the lady that was accused of adultery. You know, I really read that, and that was always one that really touched me, and I was really praying about that one. Well, like, why? What does it mean? What's the trick for? What were the Pharisees and them thinking? And I was praying, and I really feel the Lord really opened my mind to it. I just sit there and pray. Sometimes it just happens. And, you know, it dawned on me. See, in Leviticus 20:10-12, and Deuteronomy 22:22, if a person has committed adultery in the law, they'd have to bring the man and the woman. Now, notice they only wanted to bring the woman. And the reason why, well, where was the other adulteress? I mean, where, you ever notice that? Where was it? Well, they were there all along. It was the apostasy. It was the Pharisees. They were there and they were in front. And, they were also part of the adulteresses. And I wondered, and I asked the Lord, I said, but Lord, why did they want to, again, sorry, switching gears. I don't know. Pat brought it up. I kind of did a real big study on it. And I said, Lord, what was the trick for? And then it just dawned on me. Why couldn't David build a temple? Because he had blood on his hands. Remember, Jesus said he'd tear down the temple and build it in 3 days. And they were so afraid of that. Matter of fact, they even said when he, when the accusation they used against him, when all the, nobody could agree, if you look in, I forget which gospel it is, but Mark 14:58-59, they couldn't agree. Nobody's agreements come together when they're going to the high priest. Well, he did this, he did that. There's confusion. Then somebody come out and said, he said he would tear down the temple, right? And then even so in Matthew 27:39, where they said, you who said, they said this exactly, thou that destroys the temple and builds it in 3 days, save thyself. They were so worried about losing their kingdom. And when I was thinking about that, I said, Lord, well, why would that be? And why, how would that be anything? Why would they try to want blood on his hands like David, because David couldn't build a temple? And he said, read the chapter ahead of it. I mean, I read a chapter ahead of it, and I didn't see anything to do with David until the very end in chapter 7, because all this happened in John 8, where the adulterers came and said, hath not the scripture said that the Christ cometh out of the seed of David, and from Bethlehem, the village of David, where he was? And so I think they were very much afraid that he was the Christ. They did not want to lose their kingdom. And the adulteress was there the whole time, which was the accusers accusing her. And so it was just a real big, very, very, I don't know. It was pretty neat to me anyways. I'm just figured I'd share that.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Carol.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can
hear you. Wonderful. Ha, so many. I have so much to talk about, but I'm going to try to stay focused on John. I think John, I was drawn to John, and I was guided to go to it, and I do trust that's what I needed to do. I felt, I read a few of the notes, Barb and I think Anna. I felt like when I felt connected, deeply connected to Jesus and John, and I didn't feel just connected. I felt like he held me on his heart. So that was amazing. How I got saved is a great story. Yes, Pat, I love to hear people's stories about being saved too. But the story that came to me is about a few years after my honeymoon with Jesus, when he was going to change my life. He changed it drastically when he saved me, but then he took me into a whole new journey. And recently he brought this memory and this vision back up, and I wanted to share it tonight because I think it fits in all of this. And and it's about being courageous to face our fears. And anyway, I had stepped into something, and it doesn't matter what it is right now. Really what matters is I was bold enough to do it, and it made my eyes just opened, but it wasn't very pretty. It was terrifying, right? And I felt after I saw this truth that I literally blew up into a million pieces, shattered on the floor, undone. And that's not really a wonderful feeling. But thank the Lord that he did this at a time after I had this honeymoon with him. And I probably need to remember the story now. That's why I think he's bringing it up, because he's really doing some amazing stuff also, like in my body right now. And your prayers and him with me has been amazing. So I remember that I somewhere in my spirit, the Lord was drawing me in this million places on the floor, and I had this vision of him, and I was very little, very, very little now. Like my being was a child, and I was terrified. And I just saw him on the ground, And I saw his backside, and he turned his face ever so gently towards me, as in like beckoning me to come and see what he was doing. And that like got me very curious. And I saw him like he was bending down, like onto the ground, a little bit like the story of the prostitute we were talking tonight, right? Where he's like, while they brought the prostitute, he kept writing something on the ground. And so his look was so that love that draws you in. There was no judgment. There was no, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to abandon you, which are probably my biggest issues, right? Rejection, which could be for a lot of people, but I'm still working through this. And so I gently walked up towards his shoulder to look down, and on the ground was me. My million pieces were on the ground, all over the place. And I was like, before I could even go, why would you want to show me this? I don't want to see this, right? He instantly like brought me to see what he was doing with that. And he was picking up each piece. And he was putting it in his heart. And I just felt like that is the message of love for all of us, because he does have to shatter us from that old place so that he can put us back together again. It's a little terrifying, but it's beautiful at the same time. And here's what happened tonight. While you guys were praying and talking, I stumbled on this in John. This Bible study has devotionals. And I can't believe, and I sense this is also for Willie, who has had a loss. You know, the shatteredness, and the word he used before, closure. And I just felt like shatter, closure. And I put this comment down, which was sounded strange, but it really was a compassionate comment. Like, Jesus is the closure. He's the one that brings it all together. So this woman, she works with glass, and it was so beautiful how he hit me again tonight. Sorry about this. My art studio is a mess of half-chewed pastels and all kinds of things. I'm going to get to the part where she said, and as I'm putting things away, I discovered that some broken glass on the counter by the window. I also discovered that when sunlight struck the shattered glass, brilliant, colorful rays scattered everywhere. Shattered glass is full of 1,000 different angles, each one picking up a ray of light and shooting off in 1,000 directions. That doesn't happen with plain glass, such as a jar. The glass must be broken into many pieces. What's true of shattered glass is true of a broken life. Shattered dreams, a heart full of fissures, I don't know how to say it in English, but breaks, hopes that are splintered, a life in pieces that appears to be ruin. But given time and prayer, such a person's life can shine more brightly than if the brokenness had never happened. And this is in reference to John 9:5, where Jesus says that he's the light of the world. So there you go. That's how awesome our God is. So I just wanted to share that, because that's pretty intimate for me. But I also wanted to give a praise report of, I don't quite know how he's doing this great work right now. But when I wrote to you guys about this ridiculous vertigo thing that hit me and I passed out, but I knew that he had me, and I'm trusting he is working this body and getting rid of stuff. And I am so grateful. I keep passing out like when I'm joining the groups at night, but I'm trusting that I'm hearing what I need to hear and I'm sleeping through. And tonight I've just kept saying, Lord, keep me awake, keep me awake. I need to stay awake with the group. I'll turn on the camera so I'm going to be forced to not fall asleep. So I did that. And then third but not least, we've been talking about speaking life into our family and claiming them. And God has really continued to give me such, like, for myself, I still have difficulty doing this, so that's probably why I have the body of Christ to help me stand. But with my family, I burn with a desire to speak the truth. And a tiny little example, okay? My mother, last night was, you know, talking about concern about money and making it through the retirement with a small income and having a larger rent. And in the past, that would take me down and I'd be like trying to figure out how to save her and give her money. And instead I said, no, I said, Mom, I'm the daughter of the Most High God. I have Jesus. I love Jesus. And you said yes to him and you belong to him. So he takes care of me. He's going to take care of you. I'm claiming that he's going to make something happen, that you're going to have more money. She calls me today, and this was last night, okay? And this is my mother. This is big, okay? Because my mom is, she threw an ashtray once when I told her about Jesus, right, at me, and it missed my head. Thank you, Lord. But she calls me and she says, oh, Carol. Oh, wait, I have to tell you this in English. Sorry. Oh, Carol. I was going to say the way she said it to me in French. Do you understand? No, I'm kidding. And she said, the government just sent me a letter confirming that they're going to increase my pension for this next year by $300 per month. That's big for my mother. She's on dollar to dollar. Nobody right now from the federal government is getting $300 more. The federal government, in fact, is bringing it down. But she got a letter that confirms why she got more money, and it's going to happen for the next year. So, I don't know. I just wanted to share. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, above all, Jesus. And thank you for this time out. I haven't gotten paid in a month, by the way, and I am trusting God. The insurance has been giving me a hard time, and I'm trusting the Lord. I have, and my birthday was Monday, and my dad surprised me, and he said, I want to give you a part, and he doesn't know this, by the way, that I don't have any money because I don't want to depend on him. Well, he says, for your birthday, I've decided to give you a little bit more money from your inheritance ahead of time, and that's going to cover my rent this month. So I'm like, okay, thank you, God. He's just showing up. So I am trying. No, that's not the right word. I am declaring that I am wanting to walk by faith and not be dependent on the world system and be dependent on the Lord for everything. And so I thank you, Jesus. And this time out has me praising the Lord and praying with him in the morning right now. And there are sounds coming out of my mouth when I'm, because I sing praises and prayers, and I hear the sounds, and I know they're from the Lord. They're just angelic realm happening here. So I'm not going back to the regular world. I'm telling you this, no freaking way, in Jesus' name. So, Isaac, I understand, man. Oh, I am so jumping up and down when you said, bye-bye. I'm like, I'm this close, my friend, this close. But I'm waiting for his timing. So, in Jesus' name, bless you all. That's it.
All right.
I'm not going to sleep yet.
Good testimony. Praise God. Amen. Well, all right. We're about ready to close out. We got any last requests for prayer? Well, Father, we just thank you for another fun-filled night with you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for all the testimonies and all the revelations about John and other things. And we thank you, Lord, for Isaac's new job and all the other prayers answered. Thank you, Lord, that Albert's healed. And we just praise you, Father, for Gabby coming on. And we thank you, Lord, that she learns a lot. She's got a lot to give. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we were at the rest of this day or night, whatever the case may be, or tomorrow, We thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody's sleep that's fixing to hit the site. And we thank you, Father, for fulfilling all the wonderful prayers that have been given out, Lord, and have been prayed out. And thank you, Father, for showing us how to praise you into victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, y'all. God bless you.